Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For if you've made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin, the palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong peoples will glorify you, cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For if you've been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. We have two scripture lessons today. The first one comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, and not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 22. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil.
Good morning. I just want to thank Calvin for leading the service today. I really appreciate it. And Dom for doing the children's message. The other day I was at our Lumberton store, and a friend came in who used to be a co-worker, and we started catching up on our family. He's now a Baptist preacher in Robinson County. But anyway, we started sharing what had been going on in our children's lives and how there's a fine line between letting them make their own mistakes and learn valuable lessons and protecting them from getting hurt and making mistakes that could have long-term effects. Then he looked at me and he said, "Let me tell you about my son. Him and two other boys were walking together to go shoot hoops, and one of them pulled a paintball out of his pocket and threw it at the side of a house. He didn't have a paintball gun. He just had a single paintball in his pocket. It all happened so fast that neither of the boys had any time to react or to think about what was going to happen. The next thing they knew, the police were called. They were put into the back seat of a police car, and their parents were called. After Jeff finished telling me all about some of the details and what had happened, he looked at me and said, 'In all things I give thanks.' We finished talking, and I went back to work, and he left. But that phrase struck in my mind. And all the way home, I thought about what he had said and what in that situation was there to give thanks for. Thanks for a life lesson. Thanks that his son learned what it meant to be in the wrong place at the wrong time without jeopardizing his future. Thanks that the police and the homeowners allowed the boys to rectify the situation by cleaning the site of the house and not pressing charges. What do we give thanks for? Before children go to bed at night, they recite, 'Now I lay me down to sleep' prayer. And at the end, they say thank you for mommy and daddy and grandparents, their sisters, and so on. A child's prayer is so sweet and trusting. But what about us adults? Are we sincere? Is it heartfelt? How about when we say the blessing for our meals? Are we really thankful? Or are we reciting a prayer? Do we really know what it's like to be hungry? 2/3 of the world go to bed hungry every night. Is our thankfulness just words we mouth to God in prayer, like the children at bedtime? Or does it come from a full heart that can't find the sufficient words to express it? Sometimes as Christians, we tend to take some of God's blessings for granted because we've become accustomed to having them. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness, how they became accustomed to their blessings. God had fed them while they were in the desert with heavenly manna each morning, and yet they were getting tired of it. They started complaining. What if I asked you what you have to be thankful for? Some of you would probably begin by naming some of the same things that we heard in the children's message. Then we could expand that list some. Think about your spouse, your children, your family, the person sitting next to you. Of the millions of people in the world, God has put us together, here, now. Look at your possessions, your home, your life, your job. God gave these things to you. If we all pause, we'll all have cause to thank. But what about the less obvious, less pleasant things? Are you thankful that you have taxes to pay? You should be. It means you're employed. Are you thankful for a sink full of dirty dishes? It means you had food to eat. Are you thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, or gutters that need fixing? It means you have a house, a roof over your head. Are you thankful for that parking spot at the end of a parking lot? Remember, you're able to walk. Are you thankful for a huge heating bill? It means you had heat and you were warm. Are you thankful for all the complaining you hear about our government? It reminds us that we have free speech. Are you thankful for the lady in front of you in church who sings off key? It reminds us that we can hear. There is always something we can give thanks about. The problem is that instead of giving thanks for what God has blessed us with, we tend to focus on the negative or what we don't have. The Christian is to stand strong in the knowledge that God is in control and knows what He is doing. His word tells us, "I know the plans I have for you." Paul says that you and I are to give thanks in all circumstances, that no matter what happens in life, whether life is going great or whether we are in the midst of a storm, we can still give thanks to God. In other words, no matter how bad you think your life is, there is always something to be thankful for. In today's two New Testament readings, both were written by Paul to two different groups of people with this same message. In Ephesians, Paul says, "Always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And to the Thessalonians, he wrote, "No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." As we saw in verse 18 of Ephesians, Paul instructs them not to drink too much wine or you will suffer. Instead, he tells them to let God fill them with His Spirit. In those times, that was commonly associated with the practices of pagan worship ceremonies. Today, I think, there are all kinds of distractions, addictions, and crutches that we use to try to find our joy. In Thessalonians, Paul says, "Always let your joy fill your hearts and minds." Paul is talking about the joy that comes from being filled with the Spirit, not the joy that the non-believers seek from this world. Paul is telling them, as well as to let them God fill us with His Spirit, the only way to continually have joy is to live continually under the influence of the Spirit, living in the conscious presence of the Lord. Someone once said, "A man must fill himself with something." The person that is not a Christian fills his life with pleasures of this world. The Christian is happy when he allows God to fill him with the Holy Spirit. Once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He controls our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. Paul goes on to say that we should be glad and praise God. We should sing and encourage each other. That's the joy that comes from inside, from knowing our Lord, not from the things of this world that we try to use to occupy our time. Once we have that joy and the filling of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to understand what it means to give thanks to the Father. There is only one way to obey this instruction. That is to have complete faith in God. Christians know that God is with them so they can have joy and give thanks although they are suffering. We're not told to praise Him for the bad or difficult times. We're told to praise Him for the benefit that He will bring from them. Romans 8:28 tells us that God works in all things for the good of those who love Him. So we should give thanks to God in every good or bad circumstance. He is in control, and He allows both good and bad times to come to us. But in the end, the result is always to bless us. We believe in God, so we can and should thank Him for all that happens to us. As we look at Paul's life, we see that he was no stranger to hardship, yet he glorified God in everything. He was run out of town, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by his friends, naked, cold, shipwrecked, and stoned for his faith. Yet he was devoted to claiming the good news as a more excellent way. And Paul had the proper perspective on the burdens of life. In Romans 8:18, Paul says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later." In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am quite content with my weaknesses and with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." In Philippians, he reminds us that everything that has happened to him has helped to spread the good news. We also learn through confronting our difficulties, grief over death of a loved one, anxiety during illness, watching the illness of your child, frustration over conflicts in your families, in your homes, in church, in workplace. They're all challenges that force us to grow in patience and understanding and faith. Like Paul, we must learn to trust God, forgive people, and endure pain as we confront the misfortunes and disappointments of our lives. What perspective do you have? Is the glass half full or half empty? Sometimes the circumstances of our lives are not always the best. In fact, they may be downright bad. But still, we are to look for something to be thankful for. Take the young college student who had two problems common to a lot of students: low grades and no money. So she wrote a letter home. "Dear Mom and Dad, just thought I'd drop you a note to clue you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy named Jim. He quit high school in the 11th grade and got married. About a year ago, he got a divorce. We've been going steady for 2 months and plan to get married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment. I think I might be pregnant. At any rate, I dropped out of school last week, although I'd like to finish college sometime in the future." She signed it, and on the back she wrote, "P.S. None of the above is true. It is true I got a C in psychology and flunked chemistry, and it is true that I'm going to need money for my tuition. I just wanted you to receive the news in its proper perspective." Even bad news can sound like good news if it is seen from the right vantage point, like cutting grass, washing dishes, and paying taxes. Instead of looking at the negatives in our lives and complaining, we must look for the positive and give thanks. Some of you may have been at church conference a couple years back when the DS was David Malloy, and he was talking about a time in his childhood when their house burned down. And I'll never forget what he said. After they got everybody out and they were safe, his father gathered them all together, and he started praying and thanking God that they were all safe. They didn't turn and look at their house and worry about it being burned down or first think about everything they had lost. The first thing that his father did was get his family together and thank God that they were all safe. In Romans 1:21, Paul says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." As we approach Easter morning, it brings to our attention what we have the most to be thankful for. Where would we be without the gift of his Son, our Savior? Jesus is the supreme example of all. Jesus, who went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again to give each of us eternal life, to all those who believe and trust in him. I know that when Jesus saw that cross, he went because it's the will of the Father and because he knew the good that it would bring to all believers. There are not words to describe how we should feel about the gift of the Son of God himself. On Easter morning, when we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection, let us remember to be ever so thankful for all our blessings that come through God the Father, but especially the gift of eternal life. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your very life on Calvary so that we might live with you throughout all eternity. Thank you for walking with us through all our trials, lonely hours, valleys, and problems. Help us to know that nothing can separate us from your love. Amen.